Let's go again to Psalm 84. I'm going to begin there. Verse 1 says, "How amiable or how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." Verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose hearts are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God." Now, what this is speaking of here is the heart of the psalmist, to where the people were commanded 3 times a year to go and travel to Jerusalem for Passover, Pentecost, and a Feast of Harvest, or Tabernacles, as it was also called. And they would come before the Lord. The presence of God was at the temple of God, and the people were to gather and worship him at the temple of the Lord. And the psalmist yearned for that, because that was where the greatest manifestation of the presence of God was at that time. So therefore, they had this great longing and yearning for when those times came. And it goes on to speak about passing through the valley of Baca and having a strong heart who has the ways of God in their heart. And the word "ways" here is speaking of the journey. And that they were, and this helps us to understand, this whole psalm is referring to the journey of going to the temple to worship God. And they would make that trek, or that travel there, for Passover, Pentecost, and for harvest. So in the Pentecost, that day, there were people from all nations. Why? Because they were obeying Deuteronomy 16 and going there to worship. Same as there were people from all over when Jesus was crucified, they were there for Passover. Not everyone necessarily obeyed that and did that, but many did. And he's saying that they're blessed when, if they have that in their heart, to obey the word, to go on that journey. Now, last week I was more so speaking to the Valley of Baca, which is a dry place. And that because of the life of God in us, we are to be a wellspring of life. Jesus spoke of that, or to bring life to the dry places we're passing through on the way on our journey. The picture here is our journey ends at heaven. And on the way, we're passing through dry times at times. Sometimes there's really blessed times, but God's desire is for us to carry his life and to bring blessing, or cover the dry places with blessing. Well, I don't aim to re-preach that here. I'm just laying context out here. There is the yearning for the courts of the Lord. Now, I want to go to Psalm 122, and we're going to look at another part of this a little more closely. Psalm 122, and Psalms 120 through 134 were all psalms that they were to sing when they were on the journey to go to Jerusalem to bring forth a free will offering and to honor the Lord in those 3 feasts. Now, 2 of them have already been fulfilled. Jesus was the Passover lamb, and the day of Pentecost did come where the Holy Spirit was sent. That 3rd and final feast has to do with the last great harvest of souls before the Lord returns. That's with the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometime I'll just do a thing on that. But Psalm 122 says, "I was glad." Remember times you've been glad? "I was glad when they said, 'It's time to go to church. Wake up, it's Sunday morning.'" Well, that's not what that says, but that's a likening to that. "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Well, they would travel and do that at those 3 feast times. "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem is also called the city of David. He conquered that, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 5, right? As he's being made king, he conquers that. And then it's Jerusalem, and he's building the city. And it says it's from the outside in. It says it was a city that's compact together, or they were all in like community together. It was built in purpose. Now, that's something in the United States we don't really relate to very well. But I know when I would go into Russia, I found out whole cities in Siberia would be built around one thing. You would have a city built around coal mining, or another place there would be oil. Niabrisk, where Kate and Shane and Katie first went, was an oil city 120 miles from the Arctic Circle. And they were explaining to me the whole city was built around the fact there's oil there. So then you had like a support system around that. There were certain ones that were more like their education center or a government center. Or maybe there was gold there, or it was where they built bombs. You know, I had certain pastors tell me, oh, we're from such, such place, Siberia. We build bombs from Iran. This was about 15 years ago. We build bombs for Iran. We wish you could come to our city, but you can't. No Americans allowed to come in. CIA's had satellite pictures taken. They've been snuck in, posted at the town square. We know, you all know, we're building bombs for Iran. That was a conversation I had in Abakan, Siberia. Well, in Russia, they would build whole cities around a certain thing. Ours are more just sort of happen. You really see that on the East Coast where there's roads, like, see, especially Lancaster County, that's the worst for it. You know, it, just roads were built around farms. It all zigzagging around. Now, you go out in the Midwest of the U.S., there's a little bit more of planned cities. Jerusalem was a planned city around the worship of God. And it was built from the outside in. It was all based on the fact that the temple would be there and the worship of God. Of course, they were coming bringing offerings for their sins. Jesus was the one offering for sin once and for all. Finished. Verse 4, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. So they would go up to bring forth their offering and to give thanks to the Lord for his blessing upon him. There are set thrones of judgment, thrones of the house of David. Verse 7 says something that you no doubt heard before. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Now I want to begin to mention here, there's really three reasons the United States of America is as blessed as it is. And our nation's more blessed, I believe, than any nation in history in terms of just material blessing. One is that we have stood by Israel. Our nation's blessed because of that. Our current president, whether you like him or not, has stood for Israel more than any president in the history of the United States. Just like it was a year or two ago, he declared Jerusalem as capital, or recognized it, and we moved our embassy there. That was huge. There's been some peace agreements between some of the Arab nations and in Israel and the U.S. that he helped to broker. No one's ever done that before. The previous administration was purposely going against Israel to where they gave $150 billion to the primary sponsor of terrorism and the destruction of Israel. That in itself could have brought our nation down. That in itself had the potential to bring us down. We have to understand that nations are in the mind of God, and there are certain things that will bring blessing or cursing on nations. I've shared before, when I was in Poland outside and went to the Dachau, a famous prison camp. You might have seen a picture of the train track going right in through the gate, and we were there. And there was a room maybe one quarter of the size of this room. It was like an information room, all this history. And there was this huge board, like the size of that wall over there, and it had a map, and it had like threads or lines from all the nations that were sending Jews there to be re-educated, is what they called it initially, before World War II actually went full bore in 39. They were sending their Jews there to never to be seen again. They would pick one out of four of the healthiest ones for slave labor. The rest were killed that day. Or some would be used for scientific experiments, which amounted to torture. This is the realities of these things. And it still stands there today, just like our soldiers found it in 1944, 45. I guess that was 45 when that happened, when we overtook that. But as I'm standing there that day, looking at that, the Spirit of God brought to my remembrance Genesis 12:3, which says that they which bless thee will be blessed, and they that curse thee will be cursed. Speaking to Abraham and of his descendants. And that war and destruction came over the whole continent of Europe because of their persecution of the Jews. Because they violated that scripture, war came to nations. And you tend to just think of Mr. Hitler, who was the leading proponent of all of that. But actually, all the nations of Europe were complicit. Except England wasn't. To my knowledge, England's the only one that was not complicit in that. And tens of millions, I think they say like 25 million, who knows for sure, died as a result of that. It's an amazing story of history. But you see it in Scripture. Meanwhile, the United States took the strongest position of helping them to help Israel. And we have been blessed. That's one reason. So peace shall be within your walls, prosperity. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Our nation's not blessed because we're more righteous than people of other nations. That is wrong thinking. And you can go back to Deuteronomy 7, I believe it's 7, where it says, God told them, I'm not blessing you because you're greater in number or because you're more righteous, but it's because I had a covenant with Abraham. That's why you're blessed. But pride would say, oh, we're so great, we're so great. Don't let yourself be pulled into that lie. One, we're blessed because we blessed Israel, or presently bless Israel. Two, it's because we preach the gospel or we finance it to the world. Jesus said, Matthew 24:14, this gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. And to a large degree, the support of missionary work, for the most part, is coming out of the United States of America. That's why we're so wealthy. If we stop that and we stop blessing Israel, it can all go under real quick. We've seen this year, how fast things can change where Satan gets a foothold. So because of missions, this nation's blessed. It's been the primary support in sending missionaries or supporting missionaries. Because of these things, I do not believe this nation's going to go under anytime soon. Even though there can be all kinds of storm clouds on the horizon, and there's all kind of evil being done, and the spirit of Antichrist himself is working, and in order to make sense of everything that's going on, there's one simple thing that helps you make sense of it all. And that is, the Bible shows us the Antichrist spirit is going to work to have a one world government, financial system, one world control. And that's the aim, that's the end game. And multitudes of people have entered into deception and believing the lies of the enemy. But it's really the Antichrist spirit who's working toward that one goal. Now, the third thing is that within our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, there was a protection of the worship of God. And really, that's what Antichrist needs to try to take down and wants to. There are many nations where people are not allowed to freely worship the Lord today. There's many. There's some who are hindered in some ways, but it's not outright, we'll kill you type of stuff. But my more economic in how the manipulation of the enemy works. The devil will always do all that he can. But there's this big problem. Our First Amendment guarantees the right for you to worship God according to the conviction of your conscience. The Constitution of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Bill of Rights as well, is very, very clear. That's why what happened earlier in the year was a huge issue. Because it's directly demonic and satanic to want to try to prohibit us from worship. And we have to take a stand. And we did take a stand. And our people taking a stand. The point I'm making at the moment is there's three reasons this nation's blessed it is. It's not because you're all so wonderful. We stand with Israel. We support missions. And I'm talking as a nation. I'm not talking about you as an individual now. As a nation. And because of the Constitution and that First Amendment to guarantee the right to worship. You see, in the beginning, the colonies had state religions. The 13 colonies. Pennsylvania didn't, but most of them did. There was a state religion. It's like Europe. And when the pilgrims came, they had no one, no place that would allow them to worship as they believed. So they went to the new land. I mean, that's part of our history. Thanksgiving is coming up. We need to be aware of what we're celebrating and not just do mindless stuff. But understand that there was events in God that happened. And, you know, when people are not allowed to worship as they know, according to the truth they know, it's really a problem. You know, and God's against that. Well, let's come back to Psalm 122. I just want to throw that in there. Why we're blessed, why I believe we're still going to be moving forward for a while yet anyway. Because this gospel must go to all the nations of the earth, and this still is the place financing it. Back maybe 30 years ago, there was a book by a guy named Barna that he did a lot of research kind of stuff. And he said at that time, I think 85% of the gospel in the world was being financed out of the United States. He was a researcher kind of guy, and he had statistics like this. I don't know what it is now. I know over the years, a lot of nations are sending their own missionaries to their hinder parts, you know, their secluded areas. However, for the most part, the support of all that is still from here. Therefore, America must stand, because we do know and understand from Scripture that there will be that last great harvest before the end, which is in the type and shadow, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Harvest is yet to be fulfilled before the return of the Lord. It has to be financed, and that money's flowing through the United States. If we go down, wow, is that going to drop off? A drop off major. But I don't believe we're going down for that reason. Now, if any of you were dealing with any thoughts of wonderment about these kind of things, well, I'm giving you truth you can chew on and seek the Lord about it. Get the witness for yourself. But this is what I firmly believe. Based on the Word of God, you can understand the seasons you're walking through. And that, yeah, we're getting close to the end. Yeah, Antichrist Spirit's doing his thing. But there's going to be the great harvest of souls financed largely through this nation. Israel will continue as she's been reemerged in the last, 52 years. Or is it longer than that? So it's 72 years, excuse me. The reemergence of Israel, the United States still stands behind her. We finance the gospel, and we still have that First Amendment. Well, let's read on here. Verse 8, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God will I seek thy good. Now, this is a powerful statement. And it says David wrote this, but he's saying that they that pray for Jerusalem will prosper. They that love Jerusalem. And he says, I'll seek blessing for Jerusalem because the house of the Lord's there. And what we want to understand, it's not just like, well, there's a nation. It's the worship of God. It's all about the worship of God. You see, when you try to sort through things, you have to come to understand what's the bottom line. That's a, you know, a business expression. What's the bottom line? Profit or loss? What's the bottom line? For what's the product you're making? Is it good? Is it bad? And the bottom line is, from the beginning, God's looking to have a people, a family that would know him and worship him based on the fact they know him. So we make a choice for him because our eyes are enlightened to see his love, his all of his character, his glory. And that's what he's after, is the worship of God. What's the great commandment of God? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Well, what's that translate into practically? To worship him is the beginning point. That's the start of it. That's the main thing, is your worship of God. Everything else flows out from that. It's the love for him, or the worship of God. He is your God. It's him you serve. That's the main thing. So that's the reason why Jerusalem was so blessed. Because in the old covenant, that was the center, or the place of the very presence of God in its strongest form or manifestation. Now we fast forward to the new covenant, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 19, he says, "You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now he's talking to the Gentiles, a Gentile people, city of Ephesus, being present day Turkey. He said, "You're not strangers anymore. You're a fellow citizen of the kingdom of God and a part of the house of God. You're built upon the foundation, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, that the apostles and prophets laid, Jesus Christ." Jesus is the foundation. He said, "It's on this rock I'll build my church." Everything must be built upon who is Jesus Christ. "The chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows to a holy temple in the Lord." Now, he gives us a picture of the church as a temple. The book of Ephesians gives four or five different pictures of God. One of them is as a temple. The temple in the Old Testament was a picture of the Christ to come and his church to come. In the New Covenant, we look back at that, and it helps us understand what God did, or what is. And that is that the people of God are the place where he dwells. In the Old Covenant, he dwelt in an actual place. And you had the high priestly ministry and so forth going forth there. And they were praised. They praised the Lord in the courts of the temple, or the outer courts. They would offer up their praises to the Lord. Verse 22 says, "In whom," in Jesus, "you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit," or the dwelling place of God, or the place of his presence. We're built together. Now, it's interesting with Jerusalem, back to Psalm 122, he says it was a city built together, or it was built where it all flowed together as one. And we are a building together in one purpose, for the dwelling place of God, that his name be glorified and that his presence be manifest, that he would be known in the earth. Now, in the old covenant, again, you had to go to Jerusalem and there was the temple. But now he's not in a temple made by man. Man is the temple. Those that believe, he comes to dwell in us. So thus we worship him from our heart wherever we are. We all don't have to go to Jerusalem. Saves us a little money. When we have to fly an airplane 3 times a year to Jerusalem. You know, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast, and the Gospel of John is recorded in timelines of the feast that Jesus went up to. And they knew, those who wanted to kill him knew he did that. In Luke 2, it says his parents went up every year. They knew Jesus would always be there for the feast because he was fully obedient to the word. So that when they wanted to kill him, they just waited up there for him. They're watching. When's he going to come through? When's he going to pass through the temple? The new covenant, you as an individual are a dwelling place of God, but then God's people called together, like a temple being built together, we are fitly framed together, built together as a temple where God wants his presence manifest and his name is upon this temple. Or the people gathering the name of the Lord, the authority, character, and power of God is upon his people. Then in the book of Revelation, we see at the end there'll be a new Jerusalem. And it says it's the city of God, or the people of God are there. And God is in the midst of us forever and ever. So it gives this picture here of cities being built. Now, I'm more of a country boy. I wouldn't as easily relate to cities being something great. I tend to think negatively when I think a city. Too many people, too much dirt or pollution. But there was a positive aspect as far as Jerusalem's concerned, and the cities of God where people were together in purpose. The problem with big cities is when people are gathered together in sin, that makes even bigger problems. So a lot of us like to be out in the country where there's no people to bother you. That's why you want to run to the mountains and find a secluded spot. There's no one going to bother you. Well, God's way, he calls a people together that his name be there and that his presence be manifest. So in the life of the church, one of the key things is that we are gathering at the command of the Lord to worship him. And the byproduct of that, he inhabits, Psalm 22:3 says he inhabits the praise of his people. The byproduct is a manifest presence of God. And it's so important that we embrace that. We're not just coming to church, well, it's something I ought to do. Well, I'm punching my time clock. I don't want God to get mad at me. No, we're coming to worship our Lord and Savior. Is Jesus your Savior today? Well, we come to worship him. And that's our eternal destiny. We do that here in the midst of all of the evil and so forth. But we have a destiny of heaven where forever and ever in the presence of all the angels of God and the presence of the throne of God, we worship him forever and ever. And the outflow of his presence is the kingdom of his peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sharing this to stoke the fires within you and to stir your heart that, you know, we have access to something as believers that's very, very precious. And that is we have the freedom to gather unhindered and to worship him. We have that opportunity, that liberty and opportunity. We should never take it for granted lest we lose it. And we not only want to just take advantage of that, but we want to cherish it as a high thing in our life. If you don't like worship, you're not going to like heaven at all. But the alternative's not very good. The option of hell is not very good. So it'd be wise for us to learn to be worshipers and truly keep our heart fixed on the Lord from whom all blessing flows. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's what they call doxology. Praise God from whom all blessing flows. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, many of you might have sang that religiously for years and years. When Jared was 2 years old, we had a little children's book, Bible children's book, and in it, yeah, different stories and things, but it had the doxology, and there's a picture there. And as our custom was, we would read every night. Our sons, when they were young, we would read, pray, and sing praises to God. And Jared loved the doxology. Now, why, I don't know, but that just really did something inside him as a two-year-old. He said, read it again, Dad. Read it again, Dad. Read it again, Dad. And I would, because it's so good. Praise God from whom all blessing flows. If we believe all blessings flowing from him, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all that we have within us. And the amazing thing, the more you pour out to him, he just pours out more to you. Hallelujah. You can be 2 years old and understand the truth I'm talking about. You know, children aren't messed up with a bunch of other stuff. You know what I mean? They're real simple. And the simple fact is, you know the presence of God. And if you'll carry that in your home and have it be there, your children will like to be there. The presence of God's here. There's peace here. There's peace here. Your home should be a place of peace. It should be a refuge where we can come and just enjoy his presence. But the house of God, in terms of the gathering place of believers, is the place for worship. The worship of the Lord, who is worthy of it all. Hallelujah.